Good morning. Great to gather together with you this morning as we've gathered to worship the Lord together as we've been doing and now to hear from Him as He would speak through His Word to our hearts. So towards that end, let's go ahead and dig into the Word of God together. We are traveling through the book of Hebrews right now at Calvary Chapel here, and we're in chapter 12 this morning. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. To help in our study time together, if you do not have a Bible, we'd count it a privilege to give you one. Just raise your hand. The ushers are coming down the aisle to pass the Bible out to you. They'll pass it over to you. Just get their attention. They also have pencils for keeping notes. We encourage you to do that. But in particular, take the Bible, and if you need to keep it, it's yours, no charge. If you're just using it for this morning, drop it off on the way out. For all of us, Hebrews chapter 12. Interesting times we live in, are they not? God is faithful through it all. Loves us so much, and has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. This morning, let's just press on in that plan that He has for us. As we come to chapter 12, we come to a couple of verses that are well known, and for good reason. They are a comfort and a challenge and just everything wrapped up in these couple of verses. So let's dig into it and see what God would teach us this morning. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the passage before us, the author, or God through the author, of course, likens the believer's life to a race. Only this one, of course, is a spiritual race that's being referred to. I don't know how many of you here today, if you're asked to run a marathon today, I'm not sure how many of you could do it. Actually, I do know a couple of people in the fellowship who have run marathons and probably could run a marathon, but it sure ain't me. And if we were to have to all of a sudden go out and run a marathon, physically speaking, I suspect there's some things we would have to begin to do. Some disciplines we'd have to take on. Some things we'd have to add to our lives in terms of our diet and exercise and all, and some things we'd have to get out of our lives if we were going to run that race and run it well. Well, as it is physically, so it is spiritually. There are things that are going to hinder our life in the Lord, and there are things that will help us along the way. See, the question this morning is, how's the race going? If you've received Jesus as Savior, you're in the race. But the question is, how's it going? I pray that it'll be going a whole lot better for our having spent some time in God's Word together this morning. I've called our time together, based on that opening statement there, verse 2, I've called our time together looking unto Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we gather, it's with such an awareness, Lord, that You love us. It's You who've designed us. You who've designed this life that You've given us. And there's a way we're to travel it, to run it. First, of course, coming to know You, coming to receive the forgiveness of our sins through what Jesus did on the cross. But then that embarks us upon this race, Lord, this journey. But Lord, truth be told, too many of us are weighted down, distracted, maybe even kind of just sitting on the sidelines. This morning, Lord, revive, encourage, strengthen, challenge whatever You see needs to take place, that we might run this race in the way You'd have us to, with victory, with strength, with peace. Lord, don't let this just be a time where we kind of consider this in our head, but Lord, challenge our hearts. Help us go be doers now of what we're about to hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see what the Lord has for us in our text this morning. Look at verse 1 with me. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the verse begins by pointing to some witnesses. So since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who are they? What's the author referring to here? They are the ones that God pointed to back in chapter 11. Namely, those who are what we call a part of the hall of faith there. Those who God did awesome things in and through their lives by faith. People like Abraham and Moses and Noah and Enoch and all those who were mentioned. People who were great because of the great God that they believed in. Not that they were great, but their faith. It was by faith that God did these awesome things. The word translated witnesses here is the Greek word martus. It means one who testifies or can testify to what he has seen or heard or known by any other means. So it doesn't mean that they're necessarily in some great amphitheater in the sky looking down upon us in that way. This word means they are a group who would testify of something to us. They would want to tell us something. And what is it? They want to teach us the importance of the place of faith as we run this race that God has given us, these lives of ours. If you look back at chapter 11, as we spent some time studying, you'll see over and over again the words by faith, by faith, by faith. They would name different men and women who by faith they allowed God to do awesome things in and through their lives. And so they are those who testify what? Testify basically that God is faithful. That He's worthy of us putting our trust, our faith in Him as we run this race. So it's saying, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of testifiers, witnesses who would declare to us, see, they run their race, they finish it, and they say, yes, He's worthy. He's worthy of running this race, trusting in Him. Since we have that kind of proof and that kind of encouragement, now it's our turn, is the idea. And that being the case, the following should be true of us. And what is it? First of all, let us lay aside every weight, is the declaration. If we're going to run this Christian race, if we're going to live out this Christian life, it says we must first lay aside every weight. The weight here, the word weight, refers to anything that might hinder us in our journey in the Lord. In running this race for Him, pressing on not just towards heaven, but personal holiness along the way. Christ likeness, experiencing His work in and through our lives. We're to set aside anything that might encumber us in this race. Now, it may not necessarily be sin. In just a moment, He's going to address sin also. Now, it certainly can be sin, or that weight can become a sin. But here in particular, He's talking about anything that maybe in and of itself isn't a problem, but it is now a problem because of the place it's gotten in our life. It has now become a weight that we need to lay aside. So He's basically speaking of the necessity of laying aside anything and running our very best for the Lord. Of experiencing and walking in and just all that He would have for us is the idea. Would you run a marathon in what you have on right now? I hope not. You see, what you have right now might be very appropriate for here, but if you went to run this race, why would you change? Why would these items not work? Because they would hinder you in your running. Your long pants, the dresses, whatever, they would have to be exchanged for some shorts and a t-shirt and some running shoes, that you wouldn't be encumbered by by these other things. You see, while you're sitting still right now, your current clothing, they're no problem. You're not trying to run a race right now. But if you were to try to run, and you wanted to run your best, you would lay these things aside for a better outfit. It's interesting. It's interesting what we will allow in our lives, spiritually speaking. It's interesting what we will allow in our lives if we're standing still. Just as right now, your clothing doesn't hurt you because you're sitting still. If you went to run, you'd real quick make some changes. Well, it's interesting what we'll allow in our lives spiritually if we're standing still, not making progress, treading water, so to speak. Indeed, because some people are standing still in what's supposed to be a journey, a running for it, a race in the Lord, because some people are standing still, they may not even be conscious of the weight. Again, it's no problem when we're not trying to run. But see, we're not called to stand still, are we? But we're called to make progress, to move forward in the Lord. We're called to run the race. So with that in mind, what is a weight? Well, you know, think of that question for a moment. Right now, picture that you are running in a race. You have your eyes on the goal. You really want to do well. Picture yourself running in this race. And there I am, perhaps off to the sideline somewhere in this particular analogy. And you're trying to run in this race. Would you really ask me if something was a weight to you? Would you really say, hey, Pastor Dale, are these pants a weight? Are these big old combat boots I'm wearing, are they a hindrance? No, you wouldn't ask me. The race would reveal it. You don't need me to tell you what a weight is. The race itself will real quickly show you what it is, won't it? And again, it might be something that in and of itself may not be a problem, but for you, it has become a weight. See, what's a weight to one person may not be to another. It's the place that it has in your life, the priority you've given it, the distraction that it is, that for you, it's become a weight. And your running will real quickly reveal that to you. You don't need me to show you. The running itself will. You know, it's interesting how people will debate things. Well, is it okay for a Christian to do this? Is it okay for a Christian to go there? And you know, we get in that those debating stage. You know what? It's only a debate when it's theory. It's only when we're sitting on the sidelines saying, well, I wonder if I could run with those shoes. I wonder how much better I could run with another pair. It's theory then, but you start running and it really quickly goes from theory to reality. And the same for all those things we debate and discuss. Well, should I be doing that, going there and be a part of that? You run for the Lord and real quickly the race will show you, hey, get that out. What are you doing? That's in the way. Come on, it's holding you back. It's ripping you off. Running takes things out of the debate category and makes them very, very real. You won't need me to show you. God will show you. The race will reveal. It'll force it upon you to deal with it if you really want to go for it, if you really want God's best. See, the challenge is, what are you going to do about it? That's the challenge this morning. A lot of Christians are carrying a lot of weight in terms of the spiritual race, but they don't know it, or they don't care, because in reality, they're not really trying to run the race. They're just kind of happy where they're at, settling for what they have. They have Jesus as a kind of fire insurance, got him kind of tucked in the back pocket there when the time comes. Meanwhile, just kind of happy to be cruising, coasting, really just on the sidelines. But yet, they wonder, why do I struggle? How come I don't feel satisfied? Why am I not ending the day any more like Jesus? How come I don't see him working in and through my life? A lot of believers, in a sense, are running with backpacks on. What would you do if you saw a marathon runner and he had a big old backpack on with all these rocks or some load inside? You'd go, whoa, what's going on? This lady must not hope to do very well or something. Certainly, this person's going to be tired and struggle the whole race. And so it is for so many believers. Just loaded with backpacks of baggage and emotional things and everything and just things in their lives that God would say, give and let go of. If we ask God, why can't I have that in my life? Again, it's the same like a runner saying, why can't I run and still keep all these things in my backpack? The runner knows the answer to that pretty quickly. And then it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now here's talking about sin, specific sin. And it's interesting, those things that it says, sin that can come in and easily ensnare us. And a number of commentators say that the Greek word there has the idea of a long flowing robe. Picture yourself getting up now to run this marathon, and you've got this big old robe, long robe, hanging down to the ground on you. Now, would you really attempt to run in that kind of an outfit? You start running, and real quick, what? It starts getting tangled up in your legs. It would ensnare you. It would tangle your legs up, and boom, down you go. And that's what sin does. And make no mistake, well, you know what? I don't got to drive this point home. I was going to say, make no mistake about it, that sin easily ensnares us. You know that. It's waiting right there. This flesh can be weak. And if we're not looking unto Jesus, as it tells us to do, sin snares us, trips us up. Sin comes in and causes us to fall. And so here's this challenge. Too many people are trying to run with a backpack with these weights and sins. And it says, let them go. Lay them aside. Now, you know I have to have an example in this, so I brought my backpack today. But I want you to think in terms of the backpack, if you will, that unfortunately many a Christian is trying to run the race of life with a backpack full of stuff. And so this represents some of the things that any believer, any Christian might indeed have going on in their life that represent weights that God says it's time to let go of. Lay them aside. Some are overtly sin. Some are just things that for that person, they've gotten too much of a grip. They've gotten in the way, whatever it might be. So we're going to just consider some things here. And now let me explain. I've taken some of the blocks from our grandkids. We got a little playroom for the grandkids there at the house, and they got some play blocks there. So I grabbed these blocks to represent weights. Now, if one of these isn't a particular weight that you identify with, remember they're representative of possibilities. And so I want you to think about what God might say for you today as a weight, something that's holding you back in this race. And so we're going to list some things here. Now, this first one, I just grab some out of here. This first one is the weight of unforgiveness. Now, I know it's kind of, some of you may not be able to see that in the back, but the first weight I want you to think about that maybe someone here needs to lay aside today is unforgiveness. I'm going to stack this up here. Now, as I stack these up, if they should happen to fall because I bumped the, don't panic, it's okay. Don't let it distract us either. Let's let God just speak to us about this. But the first thing I want some to think about is maybe some of you are running, trying to run with the weight of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. What a high price the believer pays when he tries to run with the weight of unforgiveness. Think of the emotional, spiritual, and even physical energy that can be burned up, that's spent needlessly simply trying to deal with all that goes on when we won't forgive someone. You see, God makes it possible to forgive others, not for their sake, but for ours. Through God, we can set those things aside. We can quit paying for what somebody else did. So maybe somebody today needs to lay aside the weight of unforgiveness. Let's see what else we have in here. Some of these blocks are bigger than others, just what the kids had there in the playroom there. And it doesn't mean some are more important than others. They're just ways to kind of symbolize this. The next one I put up here is the weight of apathy. Just plain not caring. Unfortunately, for a lot of Christians, truth be told, they're not really that motivated to discover all God has for them and run this race full on. Again, they have salvation and pretty happy with that. And so basically, they go through their days with their wisdom and their understanding and all, but just kind of apathetic to the whole process. Missing out on what God would have in that whole process of molding and shaping us and making us like Jesus. And just too many people are running with apathy. Just not fired up anymore. Lost that whole fervency of realizing what Jesus has done for you and that there's others that need to know also. But just running full on for Him. Just so many struggle with apathy. What are some other ones? This one covers a lot of things, and it is the word stuff. That's a theological term, by the way. No. Stuff. I was talking to Kathy about this, and I go, Kathy, what's the word for like materialism? Because that's a big word, materialism. And we got to talking, we came up with stuff. But it fits, because we are all so encumbered with stuff. We may not even realize it. But this world is all about, by meaning the culture and the media and everything, just advertisements, what? They all try to convince us we just need more stuff. We'll be so much more happier with more stuff. Our life's journey will be so much better with stuff. Buy stuff. If it takes credit or whatever, get stuff, stuff, stuff. And so we're after, you know, we are so saturated with that idea that somehow the answer is in what we possess and buy and all, and that it's hard to even have a perspective sometimes. Our whole culture here in America, truth be told, is even our tough economic times, we're still very affluent compared to the world. And there's just a lot of stuff. We're bombarded with that idea. We're a very consumer society, always having, getting. Got to keep up with, keep ahead of everybody else. Need to have the latest of everything. I wonder if some of you might relate to the idea that just stuff, not that those things in themselves are wrong, but the place they've gotten in your life. The importance, the priority you put on stuff, accumulating stuff, maybe that's a weight that you need to lay aside today. What's another weight in here? There's nothing wrong with a job well done. Nothing wrong with looking upon something and saying, okay, that's great, it came together and that was a good job there or something. That's not necessarily what I'm referring to here. What I'm referring to here is the pride that gets in the way of God. Pride, spiritual pride, can be such a weight for so many that they don't even realize it. Because what is this kind of pride I'm talking about? A pride that thinks it's self-sufficient. But the danger of that is that keeps us from looking to God for what He would have us to. And pride, spiritual pride, that pride that thinks I can do it my way and I have what it takes and I've got the wisdom and I've got the strength will be a ripoff, because there's a time coming you'll find out you don't have it. And God wants you to be anchored on Him. He wants you to have His strength, His wisdom. But pride keeps us from experiencing all God has for us, because we don't look to Him. We think we're better off for it, but we're worse. And pride can be like a cancer, meaning it'll eat us up. And God knows that, and so He has to root it out of us. He's saying, lay it aside. It's ripping you off from my very best for you. So I wonder if maybe a pride might not be a weight that you would need to let go of today. What's another one in here? This one has to do really with what the book of Hebrews is a lot about. Because the book of Hebrews, what the main thing really is faith. Well, the opposite of that is unbelief. And for many a Christian, that's the weight, when truth be told. Not when we say, oh, I believe, I trust, but reality is unbelief, doubt. We challenge God, never seeming to, we can't be at peace in it because we're just, where are you going with this? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And so unbelief can be such a weight that holds us back from all God would have for us in this race. Well, I have one more here. Now, this one you might have an immediate reaction to, but really I want you to expand the possible definition. And this is the word lust. For a lot of people, lust is the weight and the sin that's holding back. Now, In our culture, we think of that word a lot today with the physical aspects that lust can bring in. And that certainly is something people are bombarded with today. But in the original, you go way back in the original language and all, lust meant any inordinate desire. Something that got a place in the person's life that shouldn't have. They're looking to it in ways they shouldn't. So I wonder if that's the case for someone here today. Maybe lust would be the weight that God would have you lay aside. You know, and all these things here, these weights that, and these are just examples. I want you to picture yourself, or let's say you're watching the Olympics and you're watching the guy running the marathon or something, and he's trying to do his best, he's focused. But let's say from the sideline, we see somebody calls out to the guy running the marathon and they say, "Hey, come here, we got something to help you in your race." You see the guy stop and you go, "What are you doing?" And then you see the guy on the sideline say, "Here, I got a big old boulder for you. You really need this in your race. You need this boulder. You need this big, you're going to have a boulder better than anybody else in the race. You're going to have the biggest, best boulder around." Well, okay. And you see him take the boulder, and now he starts to try to run. And what would you say? You say, "Oh, don't be duped. What are you doing? That's not going to help you." "Yes, it is. I got the best boulder around." And you say, "Yeah, but it's going to make you lose. It's going to hold you back." So that's what these stuff and all, that's what it can be like. We buy into this. Somehow we need these things. Someone's going to help us. But God looks at it just the opposite. "No," he says, it's ripping you off. It's holding you back. And so the call this morning is to lay it aside. Repent of it. Turn from it. Whatever it might be. It's not legalism and rules and regulations. It's for your best. God knows what's best for you. He's saying, "Come on, that's in the way." So, our text says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." And do what? "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There's a race set before us, life. This life in the Lord, this journey. And how are we to run it? With endurance. The King James Version translates that Greek word as patience. We're to run the race with patience or endurance. The Greek word includes passive endurance, that means hanging in there, as well as active persistence. Going for it is the idea. Go for it and don't give up. Patience, endurance. We're to run this race, live this life, how? With patience. Now, we hear that word, but patience is not something that we value very highly in our culture today. Patience? Wait? Why do you think, we have all, you know, there are fast food, drive-thrus. That's because we want it now. If we can't have it yesterday, at least give it to me now. And that's the idea. Patience, hang in there, and yet that's how we're to run. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're in there for the long haul. So we need to run it with endurance, patience. How? How can I do this? Now we come to the key. Verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What's the key to running the race? How am I going to have patience and endurance? By looking unto Jesus. The word translated "looking" here is a word that means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. It isn't a casual look, it's a gaze. It's setting your eyes on him. Him who is our finish line, him who is our strength along the way. The author and the finisher of our faith. It's looking unto him. As we run this race of life, we're to look unto Jesus like the runner who focuses on the tape at the finish line.
He doesn't run along waving to the crowd, stopping, how's it going over there? Hey, nice outfit you have on. He's got the goal in mind. Again, personal holiness, set apartness, Christ-likeness daily, and the main goal of getting home and hearing well done. Think about it. Where are the runner's eyes as they run? Generally speaking, it's right on the course. So nothing gets in the way. Nothing trips me up. Nothing's going to take me by surprise. I'm pressing for that goal. Where are your eyes? What are you looking at as you run? Our eyes, the eyes of our lives, our hearts, our motives and all are to be fastened upon Jesus. It says, who is the author and finisher of faith? The word author here is the translation of a word that means the chief leader, one that takes the lead in anything and thus furnishes the example. It's, in this example, it's like he's out running ahead of us. He's setting the course, setting the pace, helping us see that he's doing it and he's carrying us and we're going to make it. He's the perfect example of faith as he did the Father's will on his journey here on earth. And it says, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Suffice it for now to say that this is saying he ran the race. How? He kept the goal in view. In his case, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and now he's there, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But the point is, he ran the race, keeping the goal in mind, and that's our great need. And don't let anything pull us off course. Having said that, now I want us to consider some application. I'm going to invite Tim and the worship team up, by the way. Don't put your Bibles away, we're not done, because I want you to think about something. Let's go back to the central point in this whole text, and that is how we're to run this race. Verse 2 at the beginning tells us, we're to run looking unto Jesus. What does that mean? What is this looking all about? First of all, for those of you who have not personally received Jesus as Savior, his call to you is to look unto Jesus, that you might be saved. There is no other means by which a person can be saved than by looking unto Jesus. Would you go to heaven? Would you understand this morning that we're all sinners, all have fallen short, we all need forgiveness, and it can be found. God indeed is offering it. How? Through what Jesus did on the cross for each of us, for you. And so if you've not received Christ as Savior, the call this morning is to look to Jesus for salvation. Don't look to your works to save you. Do not be deceived. Do not look to how good you are compared to, you know, well, I think my good outweighs the bad, and so God will let me in. No, that's not how it's done. Don't look to your church attendance to commend you or anything like that. You must look unto Jesus. Heart look. Cast all upon. Receive what he did on the cross for you. You must receive that payment to your account. You must look unto Jesus for eternal life, for forgiveness of sins. Be assured, if you will but look, heart look, not just mentally agree, but heart receive, he will save you. It's a sure thing if you'll just receive. So this morning, won't you look? As we wrap up our time, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner and say, I want to look from my heart. I want to look unto, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. But now, believer, I would encourage you to consider. I encourage your attention right now to think about something. We are in a race. We must look closely to Jesus. We must look to Jesus daily, continually. We must look to him in our trials as well as in our joys. We must look to him, be about him, seek him in our work, in our home, in our school. We must look and only look always only look to Jesus. We must, in this example, we must lay aside these backpacks and the things that are in here. We must lay aside the weights and the sins that hold us back. You know, there's something still in here. There's something else in here. Uh-oh, it's a big one. There's a big weight in here. What's this one? What might be on this one? Whatever God puts on there for you. It's blank for all of us right now, but it's got something on there, perhaps, for you. And so I'm going to set it right here for a moment, and I want us all to think about this. Is God putting something on that weight this morning for you? In His love, in His concern, He's speaking to you. Is there something that's gotten out of whack? Something that's got the wrong place in your life? How are you doing this morning in this race with God? Is it time to lay aside some stuff? As I said, it could be a direct sin, an overt sin. It could be just something that for you has become a sin, or something for you that's become a weight. It may not be a problem to the other guy, but what's that to you? Jesus said, you follow me. Years ago, when I was serving at a large church, I was in the front office of the church, and a man walked into the office, and he said, you guys got a surf fellowship here, right? I said, yeah. He said, well, come out here in my truck. So I walked out to his truck with him, and he gave me to give to the surf fellowship at the church there, two beautiful surfboards. I'm going, whoa, what's this about? And he said, God has shown me it's gotten too big a place in my life. Now, is there anything wrong with surfing in itself? Of course not. But for him, it had become a problem. Reminds me of a friend I had years ago. He was really into motorcycle, motocross riding and all, dirt bike riding. But I came over there one day, and he'd taken his motorcycle and parked it in his garage and put a cover over it. And I said, what's up? And he said, God showed me it's gotten too big a place in my life. Anything wrong with riding motorcycles? Not in and of itself, but for him it was. Legalism? No. Reality. Are you allowing something that God says, come on, I got better for you? Truth be told, as you right now put something there that's a weight in your life, maybe it's one of these things that are listed up here. There's a myriad of other things that could be on there, but whatever it is God putting something there for you? Don't get duped. Don't say, well, I can do that. Well, yeah. But look at it. See, it's interesting. Our text tells us what? Let us lay aside every weight. Let us run with endurance. That tells us it's a choice. God will not violate your free will. If you want to run with a big old backpack, go ahead. But don't be surprised when you struggle and suffer and wonder why you're not getting ahead. And His love, He says, let it go. Come on, it's gotten too big a place in your life. And whatever it is, bitterness, success, money, whatever it is in your life, have you ever done that? Now, I don't actually allow this for you to answer, but have you ever reached the point where you said, God, this has got too big a place? My priorities are out of whack. For me, this is a weight. For me, this is a sin. Let God speak to you. Oh, I might go there this morning. I want to give an opportunity to do just that, to lay that weight aside. And the sin that so easily ensnares us. Tim's going to lead us in a song. He's going to share a song now. During this time, if you recognize that God is speaking to you, that there's something in your life that He's saying, it's time to let it go. For you, it's become a weight, a distraction. It's holding you back. Then I'm going to ask you to stand. You do not have to tell us what it is. It's simply an opportunity. And I want the standing to represent that in your heart, you're going to make a commitment to seek God every day and make a new priority. To repent of that thing, to lay it aside, whatever it might be. That with His strength and help, you're now going to begin to run the race in a better fashion than you did when you came in here. Let's pray. Father, because You love us, You search our hearts. You see our lives. You see the things we bought into, the things that we have settled for. You see the things we let rip us off. And in your love, you're telling us, let it go. Set it aside. Lord, you're calling us to empty our backpacks, to put the whole load down. Lord, whatever that might mean to anybody here, Lord, I pray today would be that day. Lord, if you're speaking to someone's heart, and I believe you are, then help them to hear. And not to explain or defend or try to say why it's okay, but just to say, yeah, I got to lay this aside. Lord, I want all of you. I want to run it full on for you. Help them to say that. And to say, Lord, here it is. I give you this weight, this thing. We ask you to search our hearts even now in this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for you if you recognize that you have a weight to lay aside. So stand during this time, then I'll come up and pray.